Hello, Clemson. Goodbye, slump. Caden Cedric. Will free throws determine UVA's fate? First year's grades. Check this one out. Setting sights for six on senior send-off Saturday. The Doug question of the week. Pardon me. The fresh question of the week. And more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Willie Show, sponsored by Rhymes and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. He is Jason Williford, and I am Mark Jerome. Jay, it's been 2 weeks. How are you? What's happening? How's the fam?
Everybody's good. I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. How was the game? How was Austin's game yesterday?
It was good. Day one. So we're Final Four at Virginia State University Friday. That's tomorrow. So tomorrow, and hopefully again on Saturday in the state finals.
What time is the state finals?
So 5 o'clock. Probably won't make it, huh?
At Virginia State?
At Virginia State. So they'll play tomorrow at, I think the first semifinal is 7:15, and they play at 9. That's a late start. And then 5 o'clock championship.
How far is Virginia State from Charlottesville?
Probably an hour and a half, a legit hour and a half. It's further than you think. So, yeah, it'd be tough.
All right. Well, good luck tomorrow.
Well, we just got to win tomorrow. We play a good Catholic team down from Virginia Beach.
What do you play?
Catholic. They used to be Bishop Sullivan, and they changed it to Catholic.
With who's the coach?
Bobby Steinberg.
Right, Bobby Steinberg, who had his team in our event last year in the locker room.
Correct. So we play them, and PVI plays Blue Ridge in the other semifinal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So Blue Ridge could meet Stab in the finals.
It'd be the third game this year, I think. Yeah.
Who won the first two?
Stab.
That's what I figured with the lineup you guys have.
We gotta take care of business tomorrow. You know my motto, one at a time.
I know, but that's cool. But that's, are you guys favorite to win it?
So we're the 2 seed.
Okay.
Catholics are 3, PBI's first, and so it's chalk, and Blue Ridge is 4.
Who's PVI?
Paul the 6.
That's what I thought. And they're stuck, right? They're pretty good.
Yeah. They're real good.
They're ranked nationally, no?
Correct.
Yeah, they're really good this year.
They're really good. Got our work cut out if we can get past Catholic.
Is there a link that we could send out to watch the championship game? I know there is, because I remember Kobe played for Blue Ridge.
Yeah, I don't have it. I'd have to get that from Damon. Hopefully he sends it out to tomorrow so we can, some of the parents that can't make it can watch.
Maybe I'll try to get to hook up Damon Spence, because if I get involved with that, forget it. Who knows what'll happen. And Kate. Congratulations. That's awesome.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited for him. I was more nervous watching him play yesterday in the quarterfinal game than any game I've coached all year. So I'm excited for him.
I get it. It's the nerves of the parents watching their children's play. There's nothing, just like you, we had Cody Kreiser on earlier, talking with his baby in his arm. And as you told him, there's no formula that's provided to help guide you through the child.
All of those books that they give you to read, and all that, and everyone tells you do this and you're doing that. You learn on the fly, and as soon as that child's born, everything changes. So I just, and the second one, God forbid, gets it worse than the first one. The first one, you're on like, you know, you're anxious and on pins and needles every time there's a cry, a cough, there's something. The second one, you're like, oh, I've heard that before.
When in doubt, prescribe to the Dougie Fresh Smith Guide of Parenting.
And what is that?
I don't know, but he was on earlier and said, speaking of little monsters, and number five for me, someone's decided to join our show, and he's trying to box his mother out using his elbow and closing the door on her. So pardon the noises from a little monster that you may hear. I pause, but let's get to it, Jay, because we haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Oh, okay. That's okay, little man. Don't worry about it. I'm not. So we haven't seen you for 2 weeks. This kid I have is not like any of my others. Like none of my others. Wild. Bad. He's bad. Anybody want a child for a couple of weeks? By any means, I'll send you all the resources you need. And extra.
He just wants to see dad.
No, he just wants to be a pest. That's what he wants. Anyway, we haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Several games. Been on a little bit of a slide. Didn't play great against Duke. We talked about that one. Right?
The
last few games.
We played okay against Duke. We didn't shoot free throws well.
And missed a couple of shots at the end. But we had Duke. We talked Duke.
We talked Duke.
In the other shows.
Yeah.
Previous show. Notre Dame, tough game. They had a shot to win at the buzzer.
We talked about that, right? That perfect miss. Yeah.
BC. We didn't talk BC.
I haven't talked BC.
That was not a pretty one. Was not the best game of the season. Lowest scoring output of the season, 48 points.
And you know, as coaches, Mark, and I, listen, we know what it's like to play, and I keep saying this, regardless of a team's record, regardless of anything, there's talent. BC's got a tough outfit. They're well coached. You're up in Boston. You know, traditionally a tough place to play to get up. The crowd's a little different. But, you know, that particular night, big time crowd, loud. And those guys have started to trend and play better basketball as the season has gone on. You know, they got another win. If I'm not mistaken, they beat somebody after us.
They beat Wake Forest that week last night.
So, like, they're playing good ball. They're tough. They're going to defend. You know, they do some stuff where they switch, and they've got good athletes and good size and strong kids. So we kind of knew what we were up against on the road. But again, another tough shooting night. Couldn't buy shots. Couldn't again make free throws. So and our defense let us down. You know, when you're not shooting particularly well, you got to at least defend and stay close, stay within striking range. And they pulled away. They made some big threes late in the game. They got some easy buckets. And it was disappointing. We were disappointed in that, you know, for what was on the line to have that type of performance. And Coach challenged the guys, and we said we got to get back to, you know, at least defending and not getting out tough.
And in between was Louisville, which we talked about previously as well, I believe. And that wasn't a great game either. They had a chance to win at the buzzer or late. Free throws, another issue there, a little bit. And then BC, so you're not playing great over five or six games. And then we
go to Carolina. And you knew they were going to be out for blood, you know. We played them here without Nance, played them here. You know, Mondo gets hurt in the first 40 seconds of that game. I think he played 2 minutes max, maybe not even. So he gets hurt. So played him without Nance, played him without Mondo. Got to go to their place. Again, another hungry team. They need a win. They're desperate. I thought, unlike BC, we battled. We defended. They threw in some shots that they hadn't made all year, as far as three-point jump shots. Now, they got a couple open good looks, and they couldn't miss in that first half. But I thought we responded in the second half defensively, where we got stops. They didn't shoot it as well. But again, our shooting woes. We couldn't make buckets. We missed some point blank bunnies, and then we didn't shoot free throws well again. So, not a whole lot you can do. And when shots aren't going, other than just continue to defend, continue to try to get quality looks. But I thought that's what we did in the second half of that game.
So, again, going back to Duke, played okay, Notre Dame, Louisville, BC, and then going into UNC, what are you guys thinking? Are you guys thinking like questioning your team's ability and level of play? Or are you guys saying, well, no, we're good. We're going to win this game. This is just, even though we're going to play a talented UNC team, a big team.
Right.
I think is also some bigger teams, and they're big, and they've got guys with long arms, Nance and Baycott and some other guys. Is that a tougher game for somebody like Jaden Gardner, who's and Vanderpass? I mean, they're not the biggest 4 and 5.
Yeah, I think their size presents a problem. But Mark, if you told me before that game, we be in the game with them rebound. I think maybe they out-rebounded us by 5 or 6, right? They didn't get but 3 offensive rebounds. They got 0 transition buckets. Mm-hmm. And we would lose that game, and we outshot them by, we got like 20 more attempts. I would tell you, if you gave me those stats prior to going into that game, I'm telling you, we got a chance to be, come out of there with a win. No, very few offensive rebounds, very good offensive rebounding group, and no transition buckets. And again, going into that game where they weren't shooting the 3-ball great, they were one of the lowest teams in the league, 3-point percentage. Now, they got guys that stats are probably a little skewed because we know they can score and shoot it. They were lights out. And, their size. But I think, Caden played some, Poppy played, Ryan Dunn. Like, we're able to throw some bigger bodies. But some of those finishes are just, to me, those are just concentration, not rushing, keeping your eye on the finish. And we work those things.
Good comeback for a while, and then their length, I think, also caused some problems. Changed some shots. I think Nance had.
Well, they got shot blocks, but Mark, like, they had 8 blocks in that game. I probably can count 5 of them where we might as well serve them up on a platter and say, "Here, block it." You know what I mean? Like there's got to be some feel and some smarts in regards to shot faking and not just serving it up. We talk about those things. It gets frustrating in the course of the game where you continually do the same thing. You're seeing shots being thrown out of there. But we live and learn.
What was the conversation in the locker room after the BC game?
BC, we were disappointed all around, because again, and I've said this to the staff, we've talked about it, like, games we've lost this year, we've been out tough in most of those games, right? We got pushed around. We were out physical. And then some of our decision making wasn't great at times. And that's across the board. That's everybody, you know, all the guards, bigs, everybody. And that was the disappointing piece. We had some breakdowns where they were able to score and get easy buckets. And so we talked about eliminating that and not, you know, we take pride in being blue collar and you know, we weren't blue collar. We were more finesse. And that can't fly. Tony's not built that way, and this program's not built that way.
Okay, so at halftime, Carolina's giving you guys the business. They were dominating that game.
They were shooting lights out. They, you know, we got some looks, didn't make them. But whenever we needed to get a stop, they throw a big shot in. We had a couple breakdowns where we left shooters. And so the message at halftime of that one,
down 16 at half,
was don't you dare stop fighting. Don't you dare come in here and lay down. Because we've been in that building before where it could get ugly. And that could have gone from 16 to 30, lickety split. And don't you do that. You better come in here. You better come out in the second half and you better play. And we felt like we could get back in it because we had taken their best shot. You know, they threw haymakers. And I think we came out to a 7-8-0 run to start the second half. You know, so now you're thinking, okay, we can get back in this. We get another stop. It just didn't, you know, the ball didn't drop for us, didn't fall our way, but the effort was different. I thought the effort was there was more fight, and that's what we wanted to see.
7-0 start the second half.
Yeah.
Right. And just look like a different team.
Yeah. No, we needed to see that. There had to be more of that.
And then cut it again late. So I think 6.
Yeah, I thought there was one point where we had banged it. We got a good look at a 3, maybe, I think. And had that gone in, it would have gone from maybe 7-4. And now that's a different type of pressure on them, you know, where we've gotten back into it.
But you did go down 16 late in the second half.
Yeah.
Came back and fought. And do you think that the way you played in the second half carried over into Tuesday night's game against Clemson?
100%. 100%.
So what was it? Was it really effort? Is that the biggest piece? Was it also, I mean, shot making, of course, and effort?
Well, it wasn't. I think it was effort, but it was a commitment to defending because the ball wasn't going in. And it's always easy to play defense when you see shots falling. Harder to play defense when the shots aren't falling. And I think, you know, we got caught up into that. And the guys, I think they were frustrated themselves. I mean, it's just human nature. They're feeling the pressure, you know, and they know what, you know, they knew what was at stake. We're chasing a regular season title. And that was some real pressure on them. But I thought even the Clemson game, we didn't shoot it great. I think we started out 0-7, 0-8.
I think to start the game, you guys went on about a 5-minute drought.
Right. So, but again, the difference was that defensive effort, that commitment to getting stops, kept us in that game where we were still getting some stops against Clemson. I mean, I don't think we scored until that alley-oop that we threw to Dunn.
That was the first.
Was the first bucket,
right? And that and as you said, the defense,
it kept us there because they scored. I think it was 5-0, but we had stopped them several possessions in a row. I mean, it was ugly there at the start, but it got corrected.
From my vantage point, and from other people I was talking with, and from our crew, Locker Room Access, Game Day crew, the energy level just looked so different.
Well, again, so and I forget where we stopped, where we our last broadcast, but you know, you go on the road, right? You got two tough ones on the road at BC, at Carolina. It's good to come home and be amongst family and have the fans and the Who crew, and you know, you got your home team rooting for you. You know, that helped. So being able to be back home, the crowd gave us some energy. It was good.
When we spoke, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 shows ago, and multiple times I've said this, and I mentioned this to you and I mentioned this to other people, you guys look like you're dribbling ball court with a swagger, with a high level of confidence. And that seemed to be missing for a few games. And so one of the questions is, against BC, against NC, are there a few players that are hurting a little bit? I mean, I know at this point, lots of teams have players that are hurting, but some of the guys that are the leaders and the guys that are the go-to guys, are somebody's got, now there's been reports about BVP's back. People are asking about Reese's leg or something.
Guys are feeling the effects of a long regular season. I think that's everybody. There are no excuses. We're healthy. We roll them out. They're ready to go. They're probably not 100%, but they're as close to 100% as they're going to be this time of year, and that's across the board. But I would say, listen, we put ourselves in position, Mark, where we get everybody's best. And I don't care who we go up against. We got a bullseye on this. We've been ranked all year. And we've had that target. So now, you talk about swag. Well, dudes are throwing haymakers at us. They're throwing punches. And we took a few on the road. Well, we've just got to get back to who we are. That's defending. That's getting quality looks. I think it was more, to be quite honest, what BC and Carolina did than us. I think, Carolina's starting to play some really good ball. And I think BC is a team, again, regardless of record, that can compete and play with most anybody in this league. And you got them on their home court. You saw that crowd. They rushed the court. I mean, it was crazy in there. And that's not a typical BC environment.
No, I remember going up there one time and it was just empty.
Yeah.
It was, we had Shane, former manager for UVA, a couple years. We had him on the live show and at the farmer's market. And we were talking, he was saying how much he hates that trip.
It's as much, those guys, and as juiced up as they were to play a team on their home floor, this time of year, So
there's got to be some excitement up there. I don't want to spend too much time on BC, but for them to come out against UVA, and UVA's been number ranked in the top 5 in the past going up there playing against them, but this year maybe, based on what you're saying, them being pretty good and the fans sort of sensing it, the student population sensing it, are getting behind their team and coming out to the games now.
No question, it was a totally different environment. It was, but it's that's what ACC basketball should be. I mean, that's what you expect when you go in those gyms.
Could that put you guys off guard a little bit?
I don't know if it caught them off guard. I mean, Mark, we had to play them here when we played them here at JPJ. Like they knew, and they've got talented guard play. And they got a big man that's a handful. Post is real good.
Really good.
Yeah.
How have you handled the losses? Because we've had conversations in the past where you struggle with losing.
Yeah.
So competitive. I really struggle with losing. I take it to heart. It takes me a while to come down from it. How have you been handling? What have you been doing to get over the losses?
So I I've been drinking a lot of red wine. You know,
any particular kind?
Whatever's in the house, whatever my wife buys. Right. You know, Mark, to be honest, I they bother me, but when and they bother me more when we get beat the way we got beat at BC. Not that we lost to BC, but how we lost. But when we get an honest effort and the guys are laying it on the line, I handle them better now, the older that I've gotten, when they're that way. You know, you can't control makes or misses, but you can control turnovers. You can control decision-making, making smart, sound plays. You can control how hard you play defensively.
What are the conversations between you and TB like, if him knowing how emotional you can get?
Yeah, most of the time he's telling me most of the time to calm down. Like, Jay, before you go in the locker room and I talk to these guys, you just take a deep breath.
So outside of the start of the game, the drive at the start of the game, the last 5:36 of the game where you didn't make a field goal against Clemson, the free throws, I thought this was such a good win.
Was it that long, that last?
Free throws.
Besides free throws, it was 5 minutes of no field goals?
5:36.
To end the game?
End the game.
Wow, okay.
And we're going to talk about free throws in a second. But outside of that, I thought that win was so good because Clemson's a good team.
They're a good team.
They're an older team, too.
And I said this, Mark Packer I was on the ACC pregame show, the ACC Network, before the Clemson game. I think they got two of the most improved guys in the league in both Hunter Tyson and Chase Hunter.
Chase Hunter's really good.
And Chase Hunter never played point guard until this year, and he's been the point guard the entire year for them.
He handles the ball really, really well.
Unbelievable to be able to make that adjustment to now go play from off guard to wing most of the time to now having to be the primary, to be the point guard. And then Chase, then Hunter Tyson, I mean, his jump from last year to this year, I mean, he's big time.
They're a good team and a team that could go far. I'm not saying
they're not even, I mean, we hadn't even talked PJ Hall. I mean, PJ Hall is a load himself on the inside. I mean, he's talented. But that's a really good Clemson team. Brad's always played great defense. Like, they've had really good, tough defensive groups. So we knew it would be a struggle. But again, we gotta get to the free throw line, man. We gotta not think about them. I think it's all upstairs now. And
get that a second, because I want to talk defense first.
Okay.
Because I thought you guys put the clamps on them. You guys did a really good job. Like, Hunter Tyson going 3-for-11 from downtown. That wasn't just like him just missing shots. That was pressure. You guys put more pressure on that team than I've seen in a while, and against a good guard.
So
Hunter is good, and he was 3-for-10. I know PJ Hall was 9-for-13, and is a really good player. Maybe he's a first team, second team All ACC.
Could very well be, but you talk, and I don't. You probably got the stats in front of you, Mark. You know, Hunter Tyson took a lot of shots contested. We were there, hand in his face. But Chase Hunter, his percentage wasn't great, and that was Reese and Kihei both guarding he and Galloway, who went off the game before. I mean, they were averaging 95, 94 points a game the last couple games. And those two guards, I mean, they had their hands full with both Reese and Kihei.
And that's why I say it was such a good win, because it's a really good team. It's an older team. They had been coming off games where they just scored 90 points. So I think that's a really good game. And I say slump the slump is over, because Dougie calls it a slump. I was concerned about the way you were playing. I think everybody was concerned about the way you guys were playing, and especially going into the ACC tournament, but the effort they gave defensively.
Rightfully so, Mark. Rightfully so. And we were concerned.
And but, even though, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said we were concerned, but we know we got to lay our head on defense.
Yep.
And the defense came. Defense came in the second half. It woke up second half of Carolina, and it came back home in Charlottesville. Now we got to just continue to ride that defensive momentum until these shots start falling again.
23 points in the first half you give to Clemson.
Yep.
Right? And turnovers. 11 total turnovers, but I think there were 6 or 7 or maybe 8 in the first half. Right? They doubled the post a lot, which caused some turnovers. I thought the pressure on – I've seen sometimes where you guys double the post and there's not a ton of pressure and the guy's able to make a pass out of that.
Right.
Got a couple of turnovers off double and post. It just seemed like that you were much more aggressive in the double.
We were alert. We were there early, high hands. We got a tip. I thought Reese got some, you know, he got in the passing lane a couple times where he got a breakaway dunk. He was able to get out in the passing lane. Kihei harassed the ball 94 feet, and that wears on you. And the one thing I thought we did, we wore them down. Now, even though we struggled late to score, I thought they were worn down. And, you know, that was good to see.
Let's talk about the offense. Three-man game, decided to eliminate that, or at least for this game. You ran blocker, mover, blocker the majority of the game, if not every set.
We did. We played some three game. But no, we decided to go old school.
So we were talking about, okay, what's going to be the game plan moving forward after 4 or 5 games that may have caused some concern, were causing some concern. What adjustments were you guys going to make? Were you going to play different players? Were you going to make some adjustments to the offense? And it looked like certainly you're making adjustments to the offense and saying, let's go back to more blocker, because that's what's going to get it done for us.
Well, I'm of the mindset, go with what you know. Like, you're not going to reinvent an offense this time of year and got enough time to install and go spread and run dribble drive and throw lobs at the rim and do all of that. You know, you can't, there ain't enough practice time to do all of that, right? So we got to do what we know works. And you know, we got back to a little bit of that. And it's what we know. It's what I know I'm comfortable teaching. And those guys, we've got an experienced bunch. That was seamless for them to go and run that again.
And Kihei didn't score from the field. I think he had 5 points, 5 for 6 from the free throw line. 6 assists, I believe.
I want to hear if you say what I told the guys after the game. If you agree, go ahead.
About Kihei or just
in general? About Kihei.
I thought his floor game was terrific.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. I said to the staff afterwards, we go in the locker room. I said, one of the best floor games he had all year. I'm talking, he didn't score, but he ran the show offensively and defensively. I thought he was pretty good.
The backdoor pass to IMAC.
Yeah.
Was sensational, but, and that's probably because, and we'll get to this a little bit about grading the first years, IMAC really understanding that offense, and also because he's been shooting so well, they're guarding the pin down more and allowing him to go back door. And Kihei to make that read was tremendous.
Well, IMAC ran block and mover in high school. So yeah. It was nothing for him. I mean, his high school team ran the exact same thing.
And defense too.
So he knew exactly what he was. He knows what he's doing.
But even for Kihei, just hitting the guy, the right guy at the right time.
Yeah, no question. But he's, I mean, you could substitute, you could put Kihei for DeAndre Hunter on that pass. And that probably would have been a lob at the rim. But you know what I mean? Like, he's thrown that. He's seen that before.
Yeah. No question. All right. Everybody wants to know what's going on with Kaden.
Who is everybody?
Name it. Name somebody. Has your wife asked what's going on with Kaden? Have your kids asked what's going on with Kaden?
No. So, listen. I'd love for Kaden to...
I know your sister has. I know Amy has asked you.
Amy's just happy we're winning. We got the win.
I know that. And I know she's a big Ryan Dunn fan. And
she loves him.
I know she's asking you about Kaden. Don't tell me no.
No, she hadn't. And here's the thing. Look, and I know Kaden wants to be out there, and everybody probably has. I know it's probably frustrating for him to be being yo-yoed and play here, don't play there, play some, play a lot. He's got to stay ready. He's got to be ready. We're going to play, and coach is going to play who he deems is going to give us the best chance to win that particular game. And there's certain matchups that it may be Kaden, but it may be Poppy to go against a big physical interior guy, as far as first guy off. It'll be times when we got to play small. And I can foresee that against Louisville, where Ryan Dunn gets a lot, because you got to match some of that athleticism and some of that that length.
It's hard to be in that position. I've been in that position, and it can be demoralizing, can be a little depressing.
It absolutely is, and I know as a coach, and Tone often says this, is the hardest thing for him, because he wants everybody. He wants to play them all, and you just can't. And he wrestles with it because he can't sleep half the time. Because we got really good kids, right? We got guys that are good. They're bought in. Tane's probably, if not more, as frustrated as Kaden. Because Tane wants to be out there, and he wants to show that he can help this program. So, it's tough, but, I keep encouraging all of our guys, and Poppy has had his moments. Just be ready when your number's called and fight. When you get out there, fight. Like you might have a short rope, but you better fight with the opportunity you get. And it could be 5 minutes. It could be 25 minutes.
What does he need to do to stay on the court? Is it just – and Dougie's talked about this too. Like, just pick one thing. Just go rebound.
I think for him, just block out all the noise, because I know he's hearing it from everywhere, and he's reading all of the stuff that's out there. Put the blinders on, put the earmuffs on, and quite honestly, just defend and rebound and focus on those things. And he's been told all that, and whatever else is great, but defend and rebound and do those things.
I know some of the players in the past, some of the student athletes in the past have seen a sports psychologist. And I know Ty did his last year. I'm not sure if Kyle did. I know Kyle was suffering through anxiety. We've had Isaiah on in the past talking about his depression, his mental health issues, and Jack Salt. I don't want you to put his business in the streets for Kaden. But is that something that he would be encouraged to do, or is that something that he might do?
Yeah, those guys got access to all of that stuff. I wouldn't even be able to tell you if he had or hadn't done any of that, but I know all of that's at their disposal if need be. To be honest, he's got to fight. He's got to fight through this. To me, and I've gone through it, it's the best thing for you sometimes to go through a little adversity, because what's on the other side of that is worth fighting for. So, there's going to be opportunities. We still got a lot of basketball, and you know, he's got to be ready.
Old school approach.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What is going on with free throws?
It's one of those things. It seems like it's contagious with our guys now, right? One guy misses one or two and they all miss. You know, we shoot them. You know, I've had people stop me when I'm eating at restaurants and trying to go grab a dinner or lunch, and they're asking me about, do we shoot free throws? Well, yeah, I don't know a practice where we hadn't shot free throws before and after. You know, we shoot competitive ones as a team. You know, I think it's all upstairs. I think, quite honestly, the best approach now is probably not even talk to them or think about it or say anything. Just, you know, guys, make sure you record your free throws. Let them shoot them and be as comfortable shooting them, seeing the ball go in. But forget, you know, pressure free throws, forget yelling, you know, crowd noise, all the stuff we've done in the past. I told Coach, let them come out and shoot with headphones on, lock in, get into a happy place, listen to their own music, and just find their rhythm. I mean, you got to get to a point where you're just comfortable shooting and you're blocking out everything. And, you know, there can be overkill at times when you're constantly talking about it. And now you're going to the line instead of, I'm going to the line, I'm shooting my shot, I'm going through my routine. It's like, God, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss. And that's all you're thinking. So.
Well, at least you guys are addressing it, unlike Calipari several years ago, missing free throws after he told everybody. I told you I was on the phone with Coach Chill from South Kent. We were having a conversation about Calipari saying that they wouldn't have an issue with free throws. And of course, and I was at that game and I heard him in an interview say, we don't have a problem with free throws. And I guess Coach Chill had told me that he had made this announcement that he was the best free throw teacher in the game. I think that's what the word was. The phrase was.
He probably was trying to reverse psychology those guys and tell them there was no problem because he wanted them thinking it was.
Well, the problem with that is?
Yeah.
The problem with that is they missed the free throw at the crucial time that would have won the game. And Kansas comes down and comes down and ties the game. Merrill Chalmers goes in overtime and they lose.
Yeah, so we're going to make them. I'm gonna send a couple prayers up that we're gonna make them when the time is right, when we need to make them, and it doesn't bite us in the butt. But they gotta free themselves up and just go to the line and shoot them, shoot their routine, and not worry about it. Easier said than done.
Yep. No question. I mean, because that can get mental, and when that happens, ooh. Yeah. All right. So we're all pulling for you, free throws. We'll do like some kind of free throw dance.
We need a free throw chant or some type of voodoo doll to get us through these free throws.
Absolutely. Moving on to the first years, we were having this conversation the other day in the post game, talking about after the Clemson game. And do you feel like expectations have been met, surpassed? These guys are just touching the surface.
Quite honestly, I think they're right where we want them to be and needed them to be. I think Matt is becoming a lot more comfortable in his role. Ryan Dunn probably surpassed most people's expectations, I would think. But they're growing. They're getting better. You know, it's the perfect time for Dunn to step up and give us a boost. And he did that against Clemson. I hope that'll continue. But I think Matt, you know, Tone told him to take the parking brake off. And he's done that. But there's still some room for improvement. But he is, you know, he banged a couple big shots for us. He's not afraid to take some. But they're first years. Like, that's where, you know, I expect them to be where they are.
They surpassed any expectations I've had by far. I've seen iMac get so much better.
But Mark, we needed him to do what he's doing.
Of course you do, but it doesn't mean that he hasn't surpassed expectations,
no,
right?
Like, I think as a staff, this is what we were hoping we would get out of him, right? Because we knew we had to have another perimeter guy. And you know, when you redshirt Leon and Fish, now he better be what we thought he was going to be. And so I think he's right there.
He's playing great. I love his aggressiveness. He's getting better defensively. His offense is getting
great. Still got to work there. You still got to work there.
Yeah, of course. And that's,
I don't want to get complacent.
There's going to be nobody that's going to meet your expectations as on defense, right? Just like, not for me, but for you especially. This is your team. This is your defense.
Right.
You and TVs and the rest of the staff. No one's going to ever meet expectations. Maybe somebody like DeAndre comes close. But you're looking for the perfect game, like defensively.
Oh, defensively, no question.
Right. But iMac and Ryan have done so well. Right. And their first years are only going to get better, but they're looking great.
I'm happy for them, happy for their families, excited about what's to come, but even more excited about as we move into, you know, you start moving into tournament play. I'm excited for them.
And let's not limit it to those two. How are, I didn't know that was his nickname, Fish, but it makes sense.
Okay.
And Bond. You got a nickname for Bond too?
LB, that's it.
All right. I was going to say something like, you know, strong as Bond, whatever. How are they progressing?
Doing well. They're doing well. You know, constantly working defensively. They're the green team, so they're running everybody else's offense. So, you know, there are days where Fish can't miss. And he's that stretch four, knocking down shots, and then Leon's athleticism and, you know, his ability to pull up, shoot that mid-range. So they're getting better, you know, and we're excited about and then, I mean, you got Dante on that team as a point guard. I mean, there are days where they're giving us fits.
It's a good squad.
Yeah.
That's a real good squad. Saturday, big day. Danny Alter, if you're listening, I want to ask him how many S's were included in that shooting sites for six.
Who?
Danny Alter, who's a big fan of alum.
Uh-huh.
Big fan of the show. I hang out with him sometimes. We get lunch. He brings me to these incredible places, restaurants that Dougie's always supposed to come to. He's here.
There he is.
How many S's did I provide in the open for Saturday send-off? Let's see if he comes in with it. He's always got a trivia question for me, and I can never get him right. He comes up with these crazy trivia questions. I'm like, what are you talking about? Way above my head. I didn't go to UVA. So, but big day Saturday.
Big day.
Chance to get number six for a share, right?
Yeah.
How exciting is that for you? How much are you guys paying attention to that? How important is it to you?
Oh, we pay attention. Yeah, we're chasing something. We keep telling them we're chasing something. And so if you got a chance to, even if it's a co or you're sharing it with a couple other teams, you know, that's something that, you know, you can talk about after you're gone, long gone. And when you're my age, you can talk about how many regular season titles you won. And they can never take that away. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment.
Not from UVA. Other schools they might, but not from UVA.
No. But no, we would love to finish it out the right way, and send our seniors off the right way, their last home game, with a chance to do something special. So, No, it's it, we talk about it, and the guys know.
Does it matter getting a 2 versus 3 or 4 seed?
I don't think so. I mean, we're happy we got the double bye.
Right, but and I gotta imagine being able to put another banner up in the rafters.
That would be special. No question.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't even looked. I don't even know where we would fall, but I know beating Clemson at least secured us the double bye. So
if you win Saturday,
yep.
You got a 2 seed.
Okay.
Right. And there's different scenarios where you can still get a 2 if you lose, or a 3 or 4, but certainly ahead of a lot of the teams, and you got the double bye. So that's always going to be important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you prefer Greensboro or New York?
So Mark, you're not going to like me when I tell you this.
I already know. Okay.
I love when it's not in New York. So being in Greensboro, so my favorites, this is Jay Willie, this is not anybody else, but I like it. Greensboro 1, DC 2, Charlotte 3, and Brooklyn would be 4. Don't ever send it back to Atlanta. I think it was in Atlanta once. We don't want to go back there. So I vote it just continues to bounce between Greensboro, Charlotte, and DC. Just those 3. Now everybody up north's not gonna like me, but that's okay.
Why are you hating on my city?
It's too busy, man. You can only stay in the one hotel in Brooklyn. If you can't get in there, you got to go to Manhattan. Then it takes an hour and a half just to come across the bridge. It's too much.
You're exaggerating. You guys stayed downtown, all the way downtown in Battery Park City when you stayed in Manhattan, which is 15 to 20 minutes away from the Barclays. And Brooklyn, you guys stayed 5 to 10 minutes away from Barclays. And by the way, you won in Brooklyn.
I appreciate that. But personally, I like it when it's below the Mason-Dixon line.
I'm not easily offended.
I'm sorry.
Why DC?
Because, like, that's walking distance from my wife's got a place up there. And so that's easy getting around Chinatown and Gallery Place and all of that. And you're right there. And it's easier. DC's not as crazy as New York. Plenty of hotels. New York's just too much going on.
There is a lot.
Too much going on.
Some people can handle it, some people can't.
And I know we lost the last time we were in DC, but when we played Carolina in the championship game, that place was rocking. And when I tell you it was rock, it was half orange and half that Carolina blue from the floor to the ceiling in that I forget what is it called, Capital One Arena now, or was Verizon Center. I think
you guys played it probably
Verizon. Yeah, that place was rocking.
Yeah.
I loved that.
That was a good venue.
It was a great environment. Great environment.
Versus New York, where Carolina's certainly outweighing the population of UVA crowd.
No, we get a great crowd in New York.
But Carolina's all over the place.
Yeah, but we travel well. Our northern folk come out. They show up.
No, we do. We do. We like to support.
And Mark is not too far from New York. You can catch the train. You can go right into Reagan. You can go right into, if you need to go to BW, you can get into DC pretty easy. That's not as far as going to Carolina, going all the way to Greensboro, going all the way to Charlotte. So that's kind of halfway between. I like it. That's perfect geographically. The Miami school's got to come up. you know, Syracuse come down and everybody meet right there. That's perfect. Don't go too far.
Still offended about New York, but I'll get over it. All right. Big day Saturday, in addition to having a chance to fight for the share of another title, the league title. You got to say goodbye to some guys.
Yeah. Always an emotional day, but fun day for those guys. Like, I know they look forward to having their families there and walking out with their families. That's always real cool.
Yep. We won't get into – next show we'll get into, you know, who you're saying goodbye good to forever and who may be coming back. We'll say that for the next show. But certainly you got to say goodbye to Kihei finally.
Well, we gave him his send-off last year.
So he's not going to get another one this year?
So he won't. He got it last year. Right. Unless they find a way to give him another year, then we'll do it the following year. Okay. If he can, I'd take that dude back in a heartbeat. If they can find another way.
Who would not? You got to say goodbye to Jaden?
Yeah, I don't know exactly who. Ronnie will give us the list. But Ben, Jaden, Kihei won't walk, but Kihei, Poppy, and I think Armand. I think Armand still got a year if he chooses. I don't know what he's decided. I don't know. Those guys let us know soon.
Next show. I got a chance to see Kihei's dad in L.A. last week. That's such a good dude.
They were here. I told them they might as well get a second place in Charlottesville. They're here all the time.
He's got to fly like five people out every time he rolls.
Yeah, I know. I asked him, I said, when do the boys go to school? They just do an online class.
I know it's true because he told me when I was in L.A. that they were all coming out to UNC.
Yep. They were here. They left. They weren't going to be here Saturday. They left yesterday afternoon.
It's a nice trip. Mm-hmm. Yep. I hope the boys had some time off last week from school. Right. They're like a traveling like an NBA team. All right. Let's bring in my man. You know, Dougie's been waiting an hour.
He's been patiently waiting.
He's been so patient. I can't believe he hasn't tried to knock down the door again.
Well, that's because Spence can control who comes and goes. So he's probably text Spence like 10 times. Let me in.
I know it. He probably did. Dougie, hope he didn't fall asleep. Dougie, coming in?
Spence has got him.
I know it. In the meantime, we'll keep it going until Dougie is about to come in. We have several questions from the audience.
You want to ask one?
Yeah, let's ask a few while we're waiting for Dougie to come through.
Am I going to be able to see him, or you got him?
I have some of them.
Okay.
Let me just pull them up. Spence, let me find it. Spence, T-Dubs wants to come in.
Uh-oh, we got a special appearance.
Dougie's texting. Like, Dougie's text three times. Let me in, Spence. Let me in. He said, or else. Spence might have fallen asleep. Spence was doing some inventory with some gear. So Dougie may have to call Spence. And but we've got a ton of questions. You know, of course, we had the Caden question.
Okay.
A lot of people wanted to ask, but I think he answered that.
Yeah.
Where is – oh, I need to find my Jay Willie. That's what I need to do. Text chain. And I want to make sure we give due diligence to the right question. So we had, of course – so we got one question. I'm not sure. This might be from Spence, actually. Who's the best trash talker you've ever coached at UVA? I'm going to guess Justin Anderson.
Not without a doubt, the easiest – yes, that was the easiest one to pick. Actually, Justin first, your son second. Now, your son was interesting because he only talked trash when provoked.
Yeah.
So he was generally quiet, but there are a lot of people that poke the bear and he just had to respond. It's the New York in him. But he did more trash talking in practice than he did in games.
I always saw him talk trash one time in a game that initiated it.
Yeah, he wouldn't ever initiate. But right. if provoked, he let you know about it.
The one time I saw him talk trash was when you guys played Virginia Tech. And he hadn't been playing well. And he had a really good game. And he hit a deep three. And he turned around to Buzz and said something.
Yeah, he did something to the Louisville bench in the tournament game.
Well, let's talk about that. Go ahead. I want you to explain.
I don't know what was said. They were mouthing at him and he let them all have it. But I was okay with that.
That started during the week.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, because all right, so now I'm at a you know, crossroads because
you know the backstory.
There was a coach, an unnamed coach, who was posting like that Louisville was talking trash, and that unnamed coach was posting articles in the locker room. Do you remember that or no?
No. Was I provoking our guys?
Anyway, so this was the conference tournament in Brooklyn. And I was upstairs in somebody's suite and the game was ending. So I come down. Next thing I know, people are telling me there was almost a fight. But I think what happened was one of the guys from Louisville was staring at them like the game was over and they was like trying
to. It wasn't almost a fight. It was something happened in front of their bench. Maybe we were dribbling the ball out, something. And he just turned and mouthed to the bench.
Yes.
But yeah, between him and Justin Anderson, you would get that all. Well, Justin did it non-provoked. It didn't matter. He would just talk. I think Justin talks in his sleep.
Well, you know, Dougie's getting really upset right now. I think he's.
Well, Spence must have, we tell him they got to call him.
Yeah, I know it. Dougie, if you can hear this, call Spence. Because I know we want to have
FaceTime you. FaceTime something. Make sure he picks up.
I know he's at Cody's house hanging out, checking out, babysitting. All right, let's get to another one after Spence's. Of course, we had the Caden one. I mentioned that already. This is from Jazz Nut. What's the current confidence level?
There he is.
Before we get to T-Dub, welcome. What's the
call of it? All right, go ahead, Mark. I couldn't hear that all the way. Say it again.
Current confidence level you see within the team, 1, 2, how many extra free throws are taken with the lower made percentage are taken after every practice? So how many free throws are taken after every practice? But also the first one was, what's the level of confidence right now?
I think they're a confident bunch. I mean, look, we've won a lot of games. You know, we stubbed our toe and a couple back-to-back ones, but again, on the road against some tough teams. I think they're excited about what's to come. And then in regards to free throws, man, we shoot 50 free throws before we start, 50 after. I mean, we're trying to, you know, and if they don't get them all, they got to hang around and shoot them until they get them all. So we're trying.
Dougie,
what was that? Were you showing the free throw form?
I'm working on my free throws. So you don't have to, like, these guys are grown. They've been playing for years and years, right? You're not going to solve it by shooting free throws. You already know how to shoot the free throw. You can do some visualization, which is what I'm doing here. So listen to this, Marky. Jason's second year, Jason was not known until the end of his second year as a scorer or a shooter. My last year, I was known as, you know, I could only shoot. I could do nothing else. Jason was the top free throw shooter on our team that season.
Percentage-wise.
Guess what it was? Ready for this, Marky? Jason Wilford, 0.772%. Doug Smith, spot 77%. That kills me to this day, and I remember it.
It was just percentage because I probably didn't have enough attempts to qualify for anything.
You got the award on awards night, is all I remember. Well, that's all I got. I wanted the plaque. You got the plaque. I wanted the plaque. You got it somewhere. let me just interrupt the great show as always. Momentarily.
What's Spence doing?
Spence? He's big time. He's over at he's probably burping the baby, man.
Okay,
he's probably like trying to do his job, and Cody's like, dude, don't move. He's sleeping. Don't move. I'll get into my parenting tips in a minute. But first, I'd like to give Jay his chance. You know, Jason grew up, as we know, what do they call it now? The RVA, Richmond, Virginia. So you probably knew the Richmond teams. You probably knew the VCU teams were all good back then and fun. You know, Carolina, everything. But, you know, you're a Virginia boy. Coach Terry Holland passed this week. Sad for all of us. I just wanted to give you a chance. I don't know if you have a story from Coach Holland. You didn't play for him. You would have been a junior his last year, a junior in high school.
Right.
But do you have any, I don't know, anything you wanted to
You know, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Fresh. I didn't know him as well as you guys. You know, you played for him for, 2 years? He recruited you?
1 year.
One?
Yep, 1 year
for me. Okay, so, but he recruited you guys. He recruited you there, Ted, Stith, all of you guys. I got to know him after, obviously, when he came back, his wife, Ann. Jeff was an assistant under T.
Right.
And so
and a player.
My recruitment, and a player, but my recruitment started in ninth grade with Virginia. So, you know, Holland must have saw something and told Jeff to recruit me. So I appreciate that. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. But I always remember, you know, he would always watch games, and he would stand in the tunnel.
Like in the tunnel.
There was like either some anxiety or he didn't want to sit. He always wanted to stand and watch. And you just always look over your shoulder, and the big 6'7" guy was standing over in the corner. The true gentleman, high character guy. And condolences to Ann and the family and all of you guys. I sent a couple text messages out to some former players who all played under him, and those guys are very appreciative. So prayers and thoughts to all of you. We lost not just a Virginia guy, you know, but I think college basketball lost one of the true spokespersons and you know, you look at his coaching tree. You know, we lost an ambassador to the basketball program, to the basketball in general.
It's like if you did your ancestry, right? You eventually get to Coach Holland, right?
If you do
it from JJ and Coach Wolf and everybody else.
So there is special. There's no JPJ, there's no Virginia basketball without TH kind of doing what he did, laying the ground. I mean, there's the Bennett era, there's the Jones era, but he laid the foundation for what is today's Virginia basketball.
Right. And the thing that gets lost in that, because he was such a great gentleman and great man, he was a competitor. Jay, when it was time to go and practice, and he's one of the few coaches. Think about this. He never gave a player a bad piece of advice. I only had him 1 year.
Right.
So he didn't have enough time to give me bad advice. I'm kidding. But he never gave, and he spent time with every guy. He treated everybody like they were Ralph Sampson, is the best way I can put it. Not like you were Ralph, but you get it. Like, everybody was special to him. So, cool. I knew you had some thoughts.
No, but you saw that. Like, you saw, like, some of the tweets that were going out and some of the Facebook posts. And even what, you know, Seth said about him. You know, he was on ESPN talking about him. And Larry Nager put something out. You know, those. He was a mentor to all of those guys. And I know JJ, thinks highly of him. And, he's going to be he's going to be missed for sure. But his memory lasts a long time. That guy,
sure.
I mean, think about some of the guys that he brought in to the program, man.
Oh, man.
That's
amazing.
Ralph. I mean, but you bring Stith.
Yeah.
You bring Crotty, Richard Morgan. I mean, you bunch of guys, man.
And he was in it. He was in it for everybody. I saw Gerard Mustaf posted a thing, a letter his dad received from Coach Holland. Yeah. Coach Holland was going after who? Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah.
And shoot, Crawford Palmer. Remember Crawford from Duke? Yeah. Anyhow, and the reach was really good, man. And you know what he wasn't afraid to do? He wasn't afraid to teach us. He took that team. They played Ewing in D.C. Then he gets on a plane. They go to Japan. They play Houston. Five slamma jamma. And then the whole Hawaii debacle that happened. My first year, he took us to France. Marky, how's that? 19 years old. We're in Nice and Monte Carlo wearing our, like, warm-up suits trying to get in, like, the fanciest gambling casinos in the world.
Fresh, didn't you guys go to the top of the world thing in Alaska, too, with him?
That was JJ. But that was Coach Holland's trip, but we didn't know he was leaving. So, yeah, he a lot of education that came along with it, but a lot of competition, too, man.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's special. It's something that everybody can emulate. I don't really know what my question is. We're going into spring break. We didn't talk about that, right? Yeah. Saturday, spring break.
Yeah.
Marky was talking about it. I thought we were in a little bit of a slump. I say we generously because when I come down, I go to JPJ, I take my shots, I talk to
you. Your family.
I'm recruiting. I'm talking to the kids. I'm telling them, let's go. It's enough. Let's end.
Once a player, always a player. Once on scholarship, you stay on scholarship.
I'll take that with some gear. But you know this part of the season, man. It's like you said, people are tired, people are hurt. There's no secret there.
It's a true grind.
So it's a little bit of a slump, but I always remember the springtime. I saw it was 65 there 2 days ago or yesterday. It changes, right? You know, me and Hav used to go, we sneak into Scott Stadium with Big Red and we'd get tan and shit. So we look good on TV. We thought probably just red. But it rejuvenates you, right? And so I think that's what we have to look forward to.
No question. No question. And I'm looking forward to it because my boys celebrate. But they've got spring break the same time. So I'll have Austin and Cam with me down at ACC tournament. So it'll be fun.
I don't know what my question is, Marky. TW, well, your turn.
T-Dub's got one.
I'm still a little disappointed in his order of what cities he favorite cities to have the ACC.
No, tournament. See, I was going to address that. I'm going to tell you what Jason maybe doesn't realize as a coach. When you go to Greensboro or maybe even Charlotte, not so much D.C., definitely not Barclays, the ACC tournament is the whole town. You come to Barclays, you're just like another, like, there's MSG's got the – who plays up there, the Atlantic 10 or somebody?
Big East.
Oh, yeah, I was kidding. The Big East plays there, and then you have the Barclays over here. It's just not – you know, Mark in New York, there's a million things, 8 million stories, the whole thing, so –
I come from where, you know, the ACC tournament was Greensboro, Charlotte. That was it.
Yeah, I was always Charlotte. I only went to Charlotte. I loved it, man. It was like 75 degrees except for the one snowstorm.
You know what? Let me take that back. There were parts of sometimes Charlotte was fun.
And the problem is Mr. Graves can't bring that big smoker up to Barclays.
Yes, he does. He still does.
Stop it. He brings it up here?
He brings it up. He puts it in the parking lot, and you can come and go all day.
Hey, before we get to Dubs, I want to ask last question from the audience. And we had so many questions. I'm so sorry we couldn't get to everybody's. We're running out of time. One good question as they came in order. That's how I'm promoting them. But also, this is a really good question. Is there an internal deadline for players to inform staff about their intended availability for next season? To Rich in 34. Example perhaps is Armon.
Yeah, no, because we were dealing with this with Kihei last year where we didn't know, like, he was he coming, was he leaving, not knowing what he was going to do. Tony tends to not want less distractions, less deal with that when the time's right. So you know, we'll talk to Armon and we'll figure out what his intentions are when the time's right. But for now, he just needs to lock in on playing good ball.
All right. Thank you for that. Again, my apologies for not getting to all the questions. Some of the questions are fantastic. We'll try to get to them next week. T-Dubs, thanks for joining.
No, appreciate it. I think perfect timing. We're talking about parenting. We, senior night. I've got my 9-year-old daughter here who wants to make her Jay Willie debut and ask a question. You ready? This is Emery Bell.
Let's go. Hello.
Coach, can you retire Kihei's jersey?
Can we retire Kihei's jersey? Yes, we could. I don't know if that'll happen. I am not on the committee that handles that. We'll have to figure out what the criteria is for that. And I'm pretty sure they'll make a decision on something like that when the time's right. But he has been instrumental in what we have done, and he is a big part of Virginia history as far as basketball goes. So great question. And I'm going to leave that to the powers to be to make that decision. If it were up to me, Fresh's jersey would be retired. We'd
have. Thank you, Jay. I was just about to come over the top on that one.
So, you know, I'd want to retire them all, but we'll see.
I'm not sure she was. I think she was saying, can you, meaning will you do it? Not if it's a question. That was cute.
Oh, no. I can't. I can't do it. No. Yeah, but no. I wish I could.
Great question, of course, coming from
that was awesome.
No question.
And folks, if you listen to the whole show or watch the whole show, we really appreciate it. I know this was an extended version. We hadn't been on in 2 weeks, so there was much to talk about.
Yeah, we didn't go over long, and people don't mind listening to Fresh.
No, they wait for this part. No, they love you, Jay. It's that Richmond Southern. Well,
you got the shooting, the free throw shooting guidance.
Hey, man, you're not going to correct it overnight. People know how to shoot free throws. You step up, you put your toe on the dot. You know what I used to think about when I shot free throws, Jay? I think I've told you this, Marky. I used to think about the camera was right on me, and it was said, like, Doug Smith, Fayetteville, Tennessee, so-and-so points, so-and-so. And I thought about that. I'm like, dude, I'm right on the camera now. Buckets. Just take everything away from the actual shot.
But you weren't thinking about make or miss. You were like, hey, the camera's on me, boom. You just
That's right. I'm making it.
That's how they do it. That's how they do it. Coming from Fayetteville,
Tennessee. Yeah, you trusted your routine.
In addition to the free throw guidance, you're also giving out
parental advice,
and baby advice.
Well, Jay said it well. You never remember your life beforehand. No matter what you did in your whole life, the second the first one comes home, I remember taking a taxi from Lenox Hill, Marky, to 92nd and 3rd, and the cab stopped, and probably you behind me was honking and yelling, and I get out. I'm like, man, and there's like 20 cars. I'm like, I just had a baby. I brought my kid, and I took it out like this. The whole place just erupted. They started going crazy. But then you get in your apartment or your house or whatever, and it's like the nurses are gone.
Yeah,
it's you.
Yep.
So I just say, when they're sleeping, let them sleep. When they're eating, let them eat. Now, my conundrum came later, because I always wanted my kids to play sports, as we all do, and you know, ball in the crib, blah, blah, blah. My oldest two kids, they figured that shit out quick, because I would never say no if they wanted to go hit baseball, dribble a basketball, kick a soccer ball. Now, next thing you know, it's like 30 minutes before nighttime. Like, dad, let's go to the park. I want to work on my jumper. I'm like, y'all just trying to stay out of bed now, but I could never say no. Jay knows them.
No question. I'll never forget the first time Austin came home. That was life changing.
Oh, it's nothing.
You got
your whole life before.
Just like that. Like, it was just Mina and I. We could go to dinner whenever. We could do whatever. That all went out the window.
All right. Message from John Schick saying, John Ty's playing.
He's like, turn on the game.
Is he saying get off?
That's right. He said, too long. I want to get off and watch. All right, John, we'll get off.
Danny Alter, this is the send-off senior Saturday for the Reds.
Jay, best of luck. Ty's wearing a headband tonight? That's what Spence just said. Check that out.
That means he needs a haircut.
Yeah, well, he got one last Saturday or whatever it was in L.A. Had a barber come over his house, over to the hotel room. All right, Jay, best of luck on Saturday. Best of luck to the seniors who we're going to say goodbye to.
Thank you.
Get that sixth title. And we will see you next week in Greensboro.
See you.
All right. Enjoy. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good